Good evening, Church. I want to thank you all for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony with you. I'll give all the glory to God before I begin for His grace, mercy, love, and patience for me, a wretched, rebellious, and idolatrous sinner. I would like to begin by reading a piece of scripture, and it's from Revelation 3:15-18, and it reads, "I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." That was a warning to the lukewarm church of Laodicea, and I have taken that as a strong warning to me as well. My name's Dean Stewart, and I was born in 1974 to George and Denise Stewart. I was born into a mixed marriage, my father Protestant and my mum a Catholic. I have two younger sisters and a younger brother. I was born into a good home, not so much a Christian home, but a home where I was taught to believe in Christ. A Granny Stewart, sis that some people here might know her, had a big influence on my thinking about Christ as I grew up. Granny was a devout Christian woman, and I'm thankful for her prayers to this day. But Dad moved all us up to the countryside in Mount Hill, near Rulu, and that's where I attended primary school. At primary school, I was a believer in God and said my prayers most nights, and I was also fortunate to grow up at a time when reference to God was part of school life. I attended Terrain Primary School, and the Lord's Prayer was said every day in assembly, so the story of Jesus was very familiar to me at a very early year. As I got older, secondary school beckoned, and it was Lorne High that I would attend. I was about to discover more of the world and going to the bigger school. I still believed in God, but I soon discovered other things that occupied me more. Even though worldly distractions came thick and thin, I believe God still used people in my life to steer me the right way. One instance I clearly remember in my teenage years was when I used to collect milk money from my dad on Friday nights. There was this little old lady whose door I always called to in Ferris Park, and she always brought me sweets or buns, but always a little pen with a message on it. Neither said, "Jesus saves," or "Ye must be born again." Those sayings would never leave me, even though I did not fully understand them at the time. At about the age of 12, I began to be seduced into the marching band. I started off in the local accordion band in Mount Hill. At the age of 17, I then went on to join more hardcore loyalist flip bands. This is when I discovered alcohol, or the devil's buttermilk, as my granny used to call it. Band parades and drinking was my life right up until I was around 24, and God was very far from my mind back then. Loyalist bands scene saw me in various bands over the years. It allowed me to travel all over Northern Ireland, Donegal and Scotland. It is what I lived for. I found acceptance and camaraderie with like-minded people. It is while I was in the Ballycule Loyal Sons of Ulster that I met a girl that would become my wife. After a few years of dating, I became a married man at just 20 years of age. I filled my life up with band parades, heavy metal, rap music and drink. I had pushed anything to do with God to the back of my mind. I thought if I occasionally went to church now and again, and yet poems to disguise the smell of alcohol, I was fine. In 1997, I became a father to a daughter named Kelsey. I was 23 at the time. However, huge cracks began to appear in the marriage, and I ended 6 months after my daughter was born, and I didn't know how to fix it. Not longer after the marriage fell apart, I discovered my mum was terminally ill with cancer, bowel cancer. My mum passed on the 2nd of June, 1998. So the God that I didn't pray to or submit to, I'd begun to be angry with for the bad things that happened in my life. I had no right to be angry with God. My marriage failed because I was a selfish man. God didn't spite my mom with cancer to get at me. Cancer is a product of a fallen world that doesn't discriminate in who it takes. Again, in my selfishness, I continued going out drinking, drowning my sorrows and chasing women while my mom was on her deathbed. I should have been on my knees praying for my mom's healing. Thankfully, with the prayers of my granny and other Christians praying for mom, my mom gave her life to Christ. Psalms 30 verse 5 was scripture that brought my mom great comfort before she passed, and it read, "For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." She knew the pain and suffering she endured would end. One day she would wake in joy in the presence of the Lord, never to suffer or feel pain again. As I said, my mom passed on the 2nd of June 1998 at age 45. The loss of mom devastated the family. We lost the one who loved and nurtured us all. It left a massive void. I went out to try and fill this void with sin, only thinking of myself and not being there for my family. I went out drinking, partying, and ended up getting involved in an unhealthy relationship. This relationship would be turbulent for the next 6 years. During this relationship, I discovered drugs. This led to me being caught in possession of a Class A drug. This led to my first criminal offence. About a year or so into this relationship, I found myself drinking at the bars of Larnakean. At this time, there was a lot of loyalist activity around the pubs. Two loyalist factions were marking their territory on the town. I ended up getting myself involved in one of these loyalist factions. This was leading me down a very, very dark path and a life of total depravity. I had hatred in my heart and was in a very, very dark place. One Saturday night, after drinking all day in the bars of Larne, I let hatred overcome me. With a belly full of drink, I lashed out at a particular fellow and knocked him to the ground. He was part of a rival loyalist faction. I fled from the scene and hid. I did not think of the repercussions of my actions. Later that night, I would discover my dad had been attacked and left for dead in revenge for what I had done. And my dad lay in intensive care for 2 weeks because of something I had done through hatred and fueled by alcohol. My sinful life was beginning to hurt others around me. Back then, I blamed others instead of looking at the grave heart inside of me. This added to my criminal record. I now had assault added to drug possession. Around the year 2023, an old friend began working with me again, the Caterpillar factory. He had become a Christian. Both him and I bonded very quickly. It wasn't long before he started sharing the gospel with me. I started to listen, and the God I had ignored started to become very real to me again. Davey began to invite me to his church, and I attended now and again with him and his family. We had great conversations and work, as Davey at that time was heavily into Christian apologetics, and I found it fascinating the knowledge he had for the proof of God and the Bible. He invited me to a home group one Tuesday night in 2005. That Tuesday night, after the home group, my heart was full of conviction. It was a deep conviction that left me feeling shameful. I knew I needed forgiveness. I prayed that night to the Lord to forgive me and save me. I confessed to Davey the next day about my prayer, and he was delighted. The problem was, it was only a half-hearted prayer. I was still not prepared to give up certain sins, and I feared ridicule and confessing that I followed Christ. I struggled with sin and lack of assurance. I had a wrong belief that I had to be good living, a sinless person before I could truly be a Christian. I thought I had to do something to earn God's mercy. I did not fully understand the cross and how Jesus' blood would make me spotlessly clean. I continued being a closet Christian for many years, still living a sinful lifestyle, thinking grace covered me to live my life as I pleased. Satan had me in a really good place. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." My failure to commit to the Lord and put my faith in him was going to destroy me. I continued to make God in my image instead of the other way around. I looked for ways to justify my sins of fornication, lust, idolatry, drunkenness, and many more. I was guilty of all these things and still thought I was saved. There was no fruit of the Spirit in my life, no evidence of a renewed mind or having a new heart of flesh. My lack of commitment and putting faith in the Lord that he would change me made me lukewarm. I most definitely was on my way to being spewed out of the Lord's mouth. My failure over the years to overcome sin led me to bouts of doubt and unbelief. This left me anxious and insecure. The year 2020 happened and then COVID appeared on the scene. When that happened, I began to get down all sorts of rabbit holes of conspiracies and left me even more anxious and full of worry. I had no peace or joy. I then started to correlate COVID and the increased wickedness of the world with biblical prophecy. Things were finally beginning to click. God was finally waking me up and scales were beginning to fall from my eyes. In May 2021, the conviction of my heart finally drove me to pray to God for forgiveness and for him to save me. This time with full surrender of my heart, no half-heartedness this time. I needed to find a church to fellowship in. At this time, most churches were still under COVID restrictions, so I looked for a church that didn't adhere to the restrictions. I found a church, and I was told to keep an open mind coming to this church. That I did, and I started to attend. I was hungry to hear the word of God. I was baptized 2 weeks after attending church. It was at this church that I met my beautiful wife, Judith. God was already working in my life. Desires in my heart were changing. The idols of music and entertainment I no longer let control me. The Holy Spirit was beginning to change and sanctify me. We continued in this church for a while until the charismatic chaos that went on in this church service became too overbearing. Both Judith and I prayed and talked about it, and the Lord guided us out of that church. We then decided to attend Glen Abbey Church in Glengormley. This was a solid Bible-teaching church and inspired me to read the Word of God more. God had given me a desire to want to know him better. He put in me a new heart and a renewing of my mind. The anxiety of the world around me disappeared and I had peace in the Lord. I now knew the Lord was sovereign and in control. I no longer worried about trying to earn my way to heaven. That was an impossible thing to do. Trying to earn something that was already paid for was futile. It says in Galatians 3 verse 24, "So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith." No man can achieve the flawless demands of the law, which are the righteous requirements of all a righteous God. But the wonderful thing is that once we have been convicted of sin and trusted God's offer of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, the law has achieved its purpose in us. For the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Christ's blood on the cross paid our debt and set us free. It's uncomfortable to know that we are sinners and have offended God. Our pride tells us we are good people and we're doing just fine on our own. We are all accountable to God. We were not put on this world to do what we want. Sin and the ways of this world once mastered me and had me in bondage. Jesus set me free and justified me when he nailed my sins to that cross. He sent the Holy Spirit to sanctify me so I could change, and I have a desire to abide in him. I am still not sinless, but through Christ I am beginning to sin less. Jesus Christ has changed my life. Everything I feel that as an unrepentant sinner, God has given me an undeserved second chance at things I had lost. God is my provider. He sent me a loving wife. He has blessed me with a son who has enriched my life greatly. We are not on this planet to live our best life now, as some would say. Yes, God can bless us, but he owes us nothing. Our best life is yet to come, with no pain or suffering. As long as we receive Christ and acknowledge he paid our debt, that is the good news. Keith Green once was asked why he followed Jesus. He answered that he had looked at all the other major religions in the world, and they all mentioned Jesus as one of the ways. They all give Jesus the credit. He went on to state John 14 verse 6, that quotes Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is only one way. Jesus is only one who paid our ransom on the cross. Jesus can change the hearts and minds of anyone. He's done it to me. It takes us to surrender to his will. There's actually freedom in surrender.